How many of you have been wondering what this is? Those of you who know what it is, how many of you have been wondering why it's up here? Okay. This is one of those very old RC Cola thermometers. You used to see these on the sides of country stores all over the South and other places as well, right? When I was a kid, this particular one hung on the front of my grandfather's house, the house that I grew up in. It was a home he built for him and his new bride about 1920 when he bought the farm. I don't know how old this is. It was always there, at least the 1950s, and it still works. In fact, it tells me that the temperature has risen from the first service to this one from 68 to 71.5 degrees. Body heat, okay? Still works. Yesterday when I went to the garage where this hangs to get it, it said way up in the 80s. Now, can you imagine that? This thing is, 60 or more years old and still works. Every time I walk through our garage and see this, I think about my grandfather. I think about Paul. I think about that farmhouse and our experiences together during the 18 years I knew him. All of us have people we loved who are no longer with us. We remember them. We have all kinds of memories. And from time to time, an experience will bring a memory to the front of our mind. We have objects and items that help us remember. We get out the photo albums, the old videotapes. Maybe there's some object you keep around the house that makes you think about someone you love. This is one of the things that jogs my memory about my grandfather and my childhood on that Kentucky farm. Jesus said the Lord's Supper is like this RC Cola thermometer. It helps us remember. It helps us remember Him. And today I want us to focus on that thought, remembering Jesus as we prepare our hearts for observing the Lord's Supper. If you would, open your Bible, please, to the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And I'm going to leave this here on the step to remind us that today we're thinking about remembering, and in particular, remembering Jesus. Luke chapter 22, our Lord is with his disciples, and they are observing the Jewish feast of Passover. It's the evening in which he's going to be arrested. The following day, he will die. As they observe the Passover, he institutes what we call the Lord's Supper. He takes a piece of bread and he says to them, "This bread is a symbol of my body that's going to be broken and suffer for you." He takes a cup filled with wine and said, "This is a symbol of my blood that is going to be shed for the forgiveness of your sin and to redeem you from sin and from hell and from the grave and from Satan." And then he says something very interesting about the Lord's Supper that we've heard all our lives if we've been in church, but maybe haven't taken the time to really think a lot about. And today I want us to think about it. In Luke chapter 22, one verse, verse 19. "And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you.'" Now here's the phrase I want us to focus on. "Do this in remembrance of me." Do this in remembrance of me. I spent some time thinking about that phrase and what it must have meant to those disciples with Jesus in the upper room. And I wondered, when they observed the Lord's Supper in the years to come, holding that bread and reflecting on Jesus saying to them, "Do this in remembrance of me," I tried to imagine, what did they remember? What did they think about? And to help me, I started thinking about my grandfather. And when I reflect on his life, what do I tend to remember? I wondered if that could help me better understand what those disciples remembered and what you and I are supposed to remember when we observe the Lord's Supper. And so as I thought about my grandfather, I thought about my experiences with him. That was the first thing that came to mind. I remember sitting on the sandy bank of the Kentucky River that bordered our farm and fishing many times. I remember him teaching me how to plant potatoes and beans and peas and cabbage and lettuce and corn. I remembered all those years that, well, twice each year we cut the hay, and then after it dried a few days, we had to put it in the barn loft. I remembered him having an old white international pickup truck. And from time to time, he would say, hey, let's go down to the store and get a dope. Any of you know what he meant? Some of you older ones do. That was his word for a Coca-Cola, a dope. Let's go get a dope. And I can remember my grandfather in his bibbed overall sitting in that truck with that 5-speed in the floor as we made our way to that country store. On and on I could go. I can remember those clippers that he had me use for years to cut his hair. And since he wanted it all cut off, it was pretty easy. I didn't have to worry about gapping anything. I can remember my grandfather sticking his head around the corner, looking at me and say, hey, how about giving the old man a shave? And for years as a kid, I would shave my grandfather. I thought about these disciples. I imagine they thought about the experiences they had with Jesus. I can imagine them holding that bread and thinking about the very first time they saw Jesus, heard Jesus, spoke with Jesus. I can imagine John, the disciple who was a fisherman, remembering that day as he sat in the boat with his brother and his father, mending their fishing nets. And there on the shore, a voice called out, and it was Jesus saying, hey, come over here. Come over here. I want you to follow me. I want to talk to you. I can imagine John remembering that time on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. When he saw Jesus in a way that no human being before or really since has seen him. When he saw Jesus transfigured and the very glory of heaven, the glory that Jesus had in heaven, his deity and his perfection was all over Jesus as he shone brightly. And John, kneeling there on that mountain, seeing the magnificent glory of Jesus. And I can imagine as John held that bread, there were times he remembered that encounter and he remembered that he got to see Moses and he got to see Elijah with Jesus that day. I can imagine John remembering that Jesus told him and Peter to go ahead of them into Jerusalem and prepare for that Passover and for that Last Supper. John was the one who got it all together. I can imagine John remembering that day at Calvary, for he was the one disciple who was at the cross as Jesus died. And I imagine as John held that bread, there were times he remembered that day, and he remembered the last thing Jesus said to him from the cross as he looked down and told John to take care of Mary, his widowed mother. I can imagine Thomas, as he would hold the bread in the years to come, remembering that time in the upper room when he doubted that Jesus really was alive again, suddenly seeing him and then being allowed to reach out with his hand and touch the scars on Jesus' body. I can imagine Peter, as he held the bread, remembering those early days of manhood when he and his brother were already disciples of John the Baptist. And one day his brother was standing by John the Baptist as Jesus passed in front of them. And John looked and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Andrew went and got his brother Peter and brought him and introduced him to Jesus. And sometime later, as Peter and his brother were sitting in their boat there at the edge of the water, fishing, casting their net over the side, I can imagine Peter remembers Jesus standing and calling out to him and inviting him to be one of his personal disciples. I can imagine that Peter, as he held the bread, would remember that dark evening in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was arrested, and Peter drew his sword and swung it wildly in defense of Jesus, cutting off a man's ear, only to have Jesus rebuke him, tell him to put up his sword and reach out and heal that man's ear, and then be taken, be arrested. I imagine there were times in the years following when Peter would hold that bread of the Last Supper and remember that time he warmed himself by a fire with the crowd. And one of them spoke up and said, "Aren't you one of his followers?" And Peter cussed and said, "No, I don't know the guy. You don't know what you're talking about. And I imagine there were times as he held that bread, he remembered when that rooster crowed, and the Bible says that Peter and Jesus' eyes caught one another as Jesus was led away. Can you imagine how he felt? I'm sure Peter never forgot. And then he ran out and wept bitterly. I'm sure there were times Peter held that bread and he thought of all those experiences he'd had with Jesus Christ. I can imagine Matthew, an outcast. His fellow Jews didn't want much to do with him because he was a traitor, collecting taxes for the Romans, their oppressors, the very nation that had conquered them and enslaved them. And here he is cooperating with them, and just a lousy guy. And I can imagine as Matthew held that bread, he would remember that day as he sat in that booth collecting those taxes when nobody would talk to him. Everybody ostracized him. I imagine he remembered sitting in that booth by himself as Jesus, this rabbi, did the unthinkable and walked over and talked to him and extended to him an invitation that would radically transform who he was. When you hold the bread in a few minutes, what are you going to remember? When you hold the cup, what are you going to be thinking about? Are you going to remember when you met Jesus? Are you going to remember when you were saved? Are you going to remember when your life was transformed by Him? Or have you been religious so long, been in church so long? Did that happen so long ago that now you seldom really remember what it felt like to know that you were a sinner and you were lost and you were damned to hell, but Jesus loved you and forgave you? What are you going to remember when you hold the cup, when you hold the bread? Are you going to remember those moments when Jesus was more patient with you than you have been with other people? Are you going to remember those moments when you were more forgiving, when he forgave you even though you struggle to forgive others? Are you going to remember those moments of selfishness in your life and contrast them with the selfless sacrifice that he made for you? What are you going to remember? Are you going to remember that his love touched you, and that his love is available for everyone, even people you don't like? What are you going to remember when you hold the cup, when you hold the bread? Are you going to remember those moments you were spiritually weak and yet Jesus became a strength for you? Those moments when you felt so alone and yet Jesus was a friend who never abandoned you? Those moments when you felt hurt and pain and yet his love put salve on your soul? What are you going to remember when you hold the cup? I thought about my grandfather and my experiences with him, but I found myself also thinking about the man he was and the life he lived. And for my 18 years, one of the biggest memories of my grandfather is that he was always a widower. His young bride had died when my father was about this tall. And I remember that the cemetery on our 120-acre farm was important to him, and Paul would make certain that I took that push lawnmower and kept that cemetery perfect. And I remember the stories I was told that for years after she died, in the morning before going to work in the coal mine, he would walk to that grave and sit for a while. When I think about my grandfather and the man he was, I think about him being a farmer. I think about my grandfather in 1970s hating Herbert Hoover, who had been dead for decades. And my grandfather in the 70s blamed every problem in America on that Republican president from the late 20s and before the Depression. My grandfather was what was called a yellow dog Democrat. Voting was quick for him. He walked in, pulled the curtain behind him, and pulled one lever on the booth and voted for straight Democrats. The devil could be running for president. My grandfather would push that Democrat button. It would break his heart to know I seldom do that. I imagine the disciples thought about Jesus and his being the kind of teacher that they and others had never heard before because he taught with authority, the Bible tells us. I imagine as they thought about Jesus and the man he was, they remembered that he would from time to time take time for a spiritual retreat to get alone and pray and be with the Father. I imagine as they thought about Jesus and the life he lived, they remembered that he was a man with great compassion who put people ahead of rules and hung out with those that the religious crowd would often ignore. A man who had this unique, incredible ability to balance truth with grace and mercy. I imagine they thought about that day when they were with him and this young woman was thrown in the dirt in front of them by an angry crowd because they caught her in the act of adultery and had allowed the man to go free. I imagine they could see those angry men standing with those rocks in their hand saying, "The law says she should be condemned and killed. What do you say?" I imagine they realized that those guys cared more about their rule than they did that woman whose life was a mess. And I can imagine as they held the bread, there was a time or two in their life in the years afterward when they could picture Jesus kneeling in the dirt and with his finger writing. And then looking at those men saying, "The one of you who has no sin, throw the first rock." And after they had all left, he looked at this woman, and I can imagine the disciples holding the bread in their hand could hear Jesus say to her, "Woman, where are those who accuse you?" And she said, "There are none." And then he said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And that understanding of how you balance grace and mercy with truth fashioned how they did life and ministry in the early church. I can imagine the disciples as they held the bread in their hand in the years to come would remember that Jesus was always about the Father's business and that on several occasions he had sent them on evangelistic preaching missions. I imagine they reflected on the fact that Jesus turned out to be so different than they expected, that he wasn't the kind of Messiah they had grown up believing the Messiah would be. He was different. He shattered all those expectations that Jesus was new wine that had to be put into new wineskins. You could not force him into the old wineskins, for they would break if you tried. I imagine they remembered that Jesus loved and reached out to everybody, the nobodies and the somebodies. There was probably a time when they held the bread in their hand that they remembered the leper. With those sores oozing on his body. A leper that had to live outside the city, away from people, that had to yell out leper every time he went anywhere, let people know he was coming, because nobody wanted anything to do with them. And suddenly this one man with leprosy on his body finds the courage to publicly come and kneel in the dirt before Jesus and beg for mercy. And I can imagine as they held the bread in their hand, they remember that Jesus with his hand reached out and touched that man that nobody else would touch and healed him. I can imagine they remembered that day when a Roman soldier, a centurion, a guy who represented the authority of the nation that had conquered them and enslaved them, coming to Jesus and asking for help. Because his servant was paralyzed and in great pain. And Jesus offering to go to his house. But the soldier saying, no, I'm not even worthy for you to be under my roof. I understand authority. If you just speak, he'll be healed. And Jesus did it. And then the Bible says that Jesus marveled and said, I've not seen anybody with this kind of faith anywhere else in all of Israel. I imagine as the disciples held that bread when they took the supper, they remembered Jesus was somebody who reached out to the leper and the Roman soldier, the nobody and the somebody and the everybody's in between. When you take the supper and you remember the cross, you remember the crucifixion, you remember the atonement, you remember the redemption, why will you remember that Jesus died? Just for you? Just for your own kind, or for everyone? And what will you remember about the mission of this church and who we exist for? For you and just your kind, or for everyone and all kinds? What will you remember when you hold the bread in your hand this morning? As I thought about my grandfather, I thought about how he died. It was late July 1976. In a week and a half, I would be going to college. I was 18. He had not yet turned 77, and he was in the hospital that Sunday afternoon. I went to the hospital and spent time with him, and I can still remember leaning over by his bed and rubbing his arm and saying, Pa, I'll see you later. Going to church that evening, and before I could see him again, he died. I remember talking to the pastor and making the arrangements as an 18-year-old for his funeral. I remember holding the casket as a pallbearer and helping carry him to that final resting place on our family cemetery beside his beloved wife who had been dead for decades. And I can imagine the disciples remembered Jerusalem, remembered Golgotha, remembered Calvary. I can imagine the disciples remembered all those times Jesus had said to them, I'm going to suffer. All the times he had said to them, I'm going to be delivered over to those who will kill me. All the times he had said to them, I'm going to die. All the times he had said to them, I came to give my life as a ransom. And throughout their years with Jesus, they never got it. They didn't understand it. I can imagine as they held the bread in their hand in the years to come, they would remember that on the evening of the Last Supper, when he gave them this ordinance and said, I'm going to suffer, this is my body that will be broken and my blood that will be shed, they still did not get it. That they did not get it until they got to where we are on this side of Calvary and on this side of Easter and the resurrection. And once they got it, it was so new and it was so fresh and it was so radical and it was so powerful that it transformed who they were, and they never forgot it. And they spent the rest of their lives in the power of the Holy Spirit saying to a lost and dying world, this crucified but a living Jesus can change your life as he has changed ours. But for most of us, when we hold the bread, we've been in church so long, or we've been a Christian so long, that for us it's more like we're on the other side of the cross. And it's lost its power in our lives because we don't remember. We don't remember that what really happened was this. He who knew no sin became sin for you, that you could become the righteousness of God. When you hold the bread, when you hold the cup, what are you going to remember? We're going to observe the Lord's Supper. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is trying to help you remember. When the elements are served, hold them until everyone has been served. Use that time to pray, to remember, to reflect, to listen, to feel. Because when I think about my grandfather, it's not just up here. It's not just up here. It's in here. And I don't know how to be a follower of Jesus if the only place I have it is up here. Because love also touches here, doesn't it? So what are you going to remember? And what are you going to allow yourself to feel? Our Father, thank you. Thank you so much for loving us with an incredible love. Thank you, Father, for giving your Son for us. And help us to remember not only his life, but how our relationship with him has changed our lives. Father, speak to our hearts and help us to not only hear, but obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Deacons are going to serve. Hold the elements until all have been served. Sing with us. Worship with us right now.
Yeah.
while they serve these leading us up here, let me remind us that Jesus took a piece of bread, which was a common part of the Passover celebration, and he changed its meaning. He changed it to mean something for us, for Christians. He said, that bread is a picture of my body, and just as you're going to break it in a moment, my body is going to be broken, and I'm going to suffer for you. And before inviting them to eat, he offered a prayer of thanksgiving. I'm going to ask Brother Pete, if he would, to pray and thank Jesus for his willingness to suffer on our behalf.
Father, we just thank you for your willingness to go to the cross. Even before we were born, even before you knew our individual sins, you were willing to give up your life to pay for them. We just thank you for that this morning, and each and every day we remember you and the tremendous sacrifice you made for us and your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me. He then took a cup filled with wine, saying, this is a symbol of my blood. It's going to be shed for your forgiveness, for your redemption. And again, before asking them to drink, offered a prayer of thanksgiving. Brother Richard, would you pray and thank Jesus for our forgiveness of sin, please?
Our Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, for the privilege to be in this house and to worship you. And Lord, we just thank you for the sacrifice that was made, for the forgiveness that we enjoy being children of yours. And Lord, help us as we go through this service today to be mindful of the great price that you paid that we might have everlasting life. And we just give you all the thanks and all the glory for Christ's sake. Amen.
He said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of your sin. Do this in memory of me. Amen. Thank you, brothers. Jesus and his disciples, after the supper, went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prayed, and he faced a critical choice. Choice to obey or not obey God's will. As he prayed, the Bible tells us he began to sweat and it fell to the ground like drops of blood. He knew how tough his suffering would be, and he didn't want to experience that. And yet he chose obedience anyway, because it's the Father's will, because he loved us. And today, as we have focused on remembering Jesus, the Holy Spirit has attempted to say something to you. I don't know what it is. The person sitting beside you doesn't know what it is. But God's been trying to say something to you while you remember. Now, whether or not you really hear is up to you. Whether or not you do anything with what he says is up to you. Just like it was up to Jesus in the garden that night to obey or not obey. He chose obedience. And the result, eternal glory. Our salvation. When we choose obedience, when we choose to listen and hear, when we choose to obey and do, it's abundant life. It's blessing. It's purpose. It's heaven and everlasting life. And so as we worship the Father by singing this song, we invite you to do something in response to what you have heard as you remembered today. To kneel at this altar and pray. To go and apologize to someone. To stop having an affair. To turn your life around and get serious about your faith. To repent of your apathy. To begin serving. To trust God enough to tithe. To open your mouth and speak a witness and invite people to church. To care, to love. To be generous. To be compassionate. What's God asking you to repent of? What's God asking you to do? Some of you, He's asking you to join this church. Some, He's asking you to get saved and give your life to Jesus. So let's stand and sing this song. And today, in our memories and hearts, God has spoken. Do something based on what He's saying. Don't stand and ignore Him. Move and do what He's leading you to do right now. Right now. Right now.